Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning. Greetings in the name of our Lord, the Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to come forward, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive unto this your word, Father, and that He will share with us the revelations that is truth of this your word, so that we be not deceived, Father, but that we can stand upon your word knowing exactly what it says. And in our hearts, Father, walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask all of this in that sweet name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to be in the second chapter now of Hebrews, and yesterday, yesterday evening, we finished chapter one. Now, here in chapter 2, pardon me, now, verse 1, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. 2, for if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. 5. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man visited him? 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. 10. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. 11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to be to call them brothers, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. And we have just read the second chapter there. There's 18 verses. Now, pardon me just a moment. We've had some dank, cool weather here. And it's got my sinus kind of tore up. And it seems like they want to keep running, messing up this morning. That's all right. Good Lord, take care of us. All right. We're going back up here now and slow down as we go through this chapter and see if we can't get a little more out of it. So we're going to take these first three verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. In verse 2, For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward. 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? But you know, now here in the book of Hebrews contains actually 5 warnings, warning passages. And these passages contain much exhortation, but also some explicit warnings. A danger sign, the first passage warns, do not neglect Christ's message, since God has no greater messenger than his Son. He has no more important message than the gospel, which the Son has given, and if the law given through angels were steadfast, producing sure judgment, how shall we escape if we ignore the sure message of the Son? This message was proclaimed by Christ, his apostles, and then by the apostle to the author of Hebrews. For further discussions regarding the significance of this verse on the authorship of Hebrews, it tells us to see the induction. Well, we know that unto this day, no one is sure about the author of Hebrews. There were several that had been discussed about being the author, but no one really knows. Paul is one of them, Luke, Barnabas, and Silas, and Apollos, Lucan. These all, at one time, have been considered about being the author of Hebrews. But this we do know. Hebrew is full of a lot of knowledge. We know that regardless who the man was that recorded this, we know that it was given to him by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because you see, that's the only way we get this kind of knowledge. And we're told that in his word. Those that are walking in darkness can sit down and read this Holy Bible over and over and over and still never know the truth of what it is saying. They may be able to quote verse after verse from memory, but they still don't understand what it is telling without the Holy Spirit giving them the truth of it. Now, you can believe and think whatever you want, but that is a fact. You see, we know that the Lord gave us knowledge He gave us a lot of the word, then his apostles, and then by the apostles to the author of Hebrews, and for further discussion regarding the significance of this verse on the authorship. You see, those are things that we really don't think about. And most that will read, sit down and read the word, they get the idea that they don't really need anyone else or anything else in order to understand it. But that is not so. Now, verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with the divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. God verified the Son's message, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And the author states that these signs and gifts were given to the first generation witnesses. He does not suggest that his readers possess these same miraculous gifts. The phrase gifts of the Holy Ghost could refer to God's bestowal of the Holy Spirit himself upon every believer. Or more likely, it refers to the gifts given by the Spirit. We know there's 9 gifts of the Spirit of Almighty God. They are reported and given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, verse 5. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. 4. In that he put all the in subjection under him, he has left nothing that is not put under him. Now we see not yet all things put under him. You see, but those verses he is telling you and I a lot of things there. And if Christ became a man and partook of death, how can he be superior to the angels? You know, this apparent contradiction is presently answered as reasonable and logical. The writer states that the angels do not have authority in the world to come. Throughout the past and present ages, angels have administered judgment on man. At Sodom, you know, during the Great Tribulation, but in the age to come, angels will have no authority over the saints. In fact, the saints will judge angels. You know, Christ was made just a little lower than the angels when he was born into this world as a babe, when he was actually flesh as well as the Son of Almighty God. but he was living and walking around in the flesh. Now, we know he did not stay that way, that he, after his death and resurrection, he ascended and went back to heaven so that you and I could receive what he had, which was the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, in that upper room, there was 120 in that upper room, when the Holy Spirit was sent back to earth to be with mankind. And it wasn't just the 12 apostles that received the Holy Spirit. It was all 120. And then, as believers came about and would grow in the knowledge of the Word and with and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit would be given to each and every one. We are all to be born again and sealed with God's seal, which is the Holy Spirit. You're not going to make heaven your home. We're told that in his word also. Now, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, verse 8 ended with the confession that man's present status does not suggest that he will someday be over all creation. But Christ's status does. Unlike man, he already has been crowned. And because of his identity with and victory for man, he makes Psalms 8 a future reality for man's death. For man. And death is one significant quality that makes man lower than the angels. But Christ has conquered death for man. You see, once you become that born-again child of God, death has no more hold on you. Yes, this body will go back to dust from which it came. But you, that spirit that is you, that's living in this body, will put on that celestial body and go on to be with the Lord. Think about this. And make up our minds what we really want. But most don't. Because they want to put themselves by themselves and first of all. 10. For it became him for whom all are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons into glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know, the concept of a suffering Messiah was a real stumbling block to the Jews. And the author tackles this problem by declaring that the suffering of the cross were an integral part of God's redemptive plan. In fact, Christ was made perfect through the suffering of death. Not that his deity lacked perfection, but his humanity was vocationally perfected. That is, a man, Jesus, was enabled through suffering to become the captain of men's salvation. Suffering allows him to experimentally emphasize with us, and death was the means of his destroying Satan and securing our redemption. And that is exactly why the Father sent him here, was to go through that. Yes, he knew exactly what he was here for and even how he was to die and suffer. And yet, all of that upon himself, so you and I would have a way of making heaven our home. 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brother. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And let's take our churches. Are the songs that we sing in our church, are they really songs of praise? Most are, I will agree. But most aren't either. Now, 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. He's going to put his trust in him, he says. Now, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And we know that the devil, all he wanted to do was to seek whom he could devour and destroy. Because, and it's after those of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, we are the ones he's after. You see, those that are walking in darkness, right now he already has them. They are the ones that you and I and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus is trying to get out of darkness and bring them to the light of the world, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, for repentance and forgiveness of their sins and a changed life that will put them on the road of righteousness so that they will be able to see heaven as their home. These are things that most do not think about today. That's why our churches are going down and down and down. Now, 15. and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, they were subject to bondage because they were under sin and bound by sin. And that's why he came to this earth, was to deliver us from that, making a way so we could come out of this bondage, be loosed from it. Now, and walk in our lifetime with him and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God and in keeping the word of God. Now, 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. What is the seed of Abraham? The seed of Abraham is man. And he didn't come here as an angel. He came here as flesh and blood and walked this earth as a man. And then his ministry began and lasted 3.5 years. And then he took on that death, those beatings that left his body so striped, it was almost beyond recognition. And it was those stripes that brought you and I healing. You see, the word tells us, by his stripes ye are healed. We was given healing 2,000 years of, a little over 2,000 now. Think about this. But yet mankind is still not understanding these things today. The healing you are in need of has already been given. But you have to have the faith and speak it and receive it and accept it in truth and sincerity with no doubting, no ifs, ands, or buts in there. And you'll find that it will work. 17. Wherefore in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brother, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Whoever the author is of this book, he provides three reasons for Christ's suffering. One is to identify with humanity. Two is to destroy the fire of death. And three, to become an intercessory high priest. One of the key thoughts of this epistle is the high priestly work of Christ. As a man, he can compassionately serve as our high priest. Primary role was high priest, is to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. You know, which means to perpetuate or to expiate or make satisfaction for sin. He, as our high priest, does not merely make atonement, or in other words, a covering for our sins, but he satisfactorily and actually takes sin away. The word secure means to come to an aid of someone. How much easier is it to help someone when we ourselves have gone through similar trials? Christ as man has fully suffered the greatest of trials, and so can ably comfort these suffering Jews needed to hear that Christ had suffered as they were suffering, and he is still there for you and I today. Because you see, he went to heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to you and I. If we are his brethren, then we have that Holy Spirit living in us that gives us the power and the authority in using Christ's name. Let us do the work that he was doing while he was here on this earth, and let us walk as he would walk. Most of mankind does not think like this, but that is the word. I've just read it to you. And he's letting you and I know there are a lot better ways out there than what we are doing today and what we are really looking for, forward to and for in our lives. We're going to stop me stopping here. Prayer for you today is that you sit down, reread this yourself slowly, and listen for the Spirit of God to talk to you, to get as much out of it as you can. Because the more you get out of it, the more help you have, and the more knowledge you have, so that you can help others. And that's why we are here. We are here to help those that are walking in darkness. Let us pray. Father, as I close your word, Father, I am so thankful for this word. Because I know in my life, Father, that without this word, I would walk in a life lost. A life who would not have allowed me to come home to heaven. And I'm so thankful for this. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that was willing to take my sins, my sicknesses and diseases to the cross. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that is now with us, Father, to give us knowledge, to give us the power that we need in order to fulfill our mission here on this earth. that you would have each of us to do. And Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem, peace to them. But even more than that, Father, I pray for all of them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and make Israel a land for Jesus. Father, this land in which we live, Father, it turned its back a few years back. And we have leaders sitting in high places, Father, that are so evil, so wicked, and has brought this evil to our land and upon our people, even into our churches. And Father, these leaders that are evil in our government and in our churches, I pray, Father, for their removal and to have those that are walking in righteousness to replace those that love you, love the Lord, love the church, love your people, and love this country. And that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for all that has been with me through this study and that has heard the teaching. I pray for each and every one of them, that, Father, they have found what they needed to move closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, closer to you. And, Father, that they are walking in righteousness to make heaven their home. Now, Father, keep us through this day in health, in safety. And, Father, bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, all. I pray you have a good day. Walk with God, he'll walk with you. God bless now.